I want to go into the sermon, and I'm doing a series called Come Home. And, you know, today the subtitle is New Thinking, and I put point one, not part one, because the first point was so long, just so long, and so the second point will be next week. The passage is Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 18. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 18. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father." And, you know, here, first part of the series, you know, I was talking about hearing the voice of God. And I don't think the son realized, you know, that every day the father came out looking for him, you know, calling him out to come home. And that was the first part. And second part in this past, you know, in the context of this parable, the son spent all his inheritance, you know, he was at the lowest point of his life. He was broken. He was shamed and lost. Here, though, in this passage, the son decides to come home. And the Bible says, when he came to his senses, okay? When he came to his senses. The son was going the wrong direction. You know, he wanted to just live a hedonistic life, you know. He thought it was his father that was limiting him, and so he ran away from the father. But what was happening was he was going the opposite direction. He was going away from the father who loved him, towards poverty, towards rebellion, towards pain and anger. But things change. It says, this passage says, when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he picked himself up and came home, okay? Head home. So what does it mean that he came to his senses? There was a transformation in his mind. He stopped thinking the old way, thinking the old thoughts, and there was a new thinking, okay? A new thinking. And Romans chapter 12. Verse 2, this is what it says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't go that direction. But how does a transformation happen? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do stop thinking old thoughts. Change your thoughts. Start thinking new thoughts. And what is the new thought? And this is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. New thoughts that is true. That's the will of God. That's God's promise, God's revelations, God's truth. And when you start thinking new thoughts, there will be transformation. There will be transformation. It's not, you know, when I get that job, there will be transformation. When my mom is nicer to me, there will be transformation. You know, when I get good grades or make it into that college, there will be transformation. No, this passage says transformation starts within you, not outside of you. In this passage, God focused on changing your mind more than changing the circumstances around you. And you and I, we want God to change the circumstances, to change the world around us. You know, God, change my marriage. God, change my family. You know, parents says, change my child, God. And the child says, change my parents. Change my finances. God, change my body. But this passage says God wants to focus on renewing your mind to get rid of the old thinking and replace it with new thinking. God is more interested in changing our mind than changing the circumstances. Why? Life changes when your thinking changes. Okay? Proverbs, chapter 4 talks about how the change, everything, what flows out in your life is from the inside. Talks about everything that you do flows from what is inside of you. The Bible says the power of your mind, the power of your thought has tremendous, tremendous power to shape your life for good or for bad. If you have thoughts of bitterness, then your life will be filled with bitterness. If you have thoughts of hopelessness, then your life will be filled with hopelessness. If you your thoughts is filled with just offense, what that person is thinking, what that person is doing, and a lot of judgment and bitterness, and just a lot of offense that you carry, your life will be filled with offense. If shame, then your life will be filled with shame. But the Bible says if you change your thought and you start thinking about truth, the Bible says truth will set you free. If good thoughts, then your life will be filled with goodness. But we need to understand, it's not just a human effort here. You need to understand it's a spiritual battle. That's why it's so difficult. And then we got to learn how to fight the spiritual battle. In Romans chapter 7, verse 22 to 23, Apostle Paul says, for in my inner being, okay, he's not focusing on, those Romans, those the Pharisees in Jerusalem, those disciples, some of the people in the church. That's not what he's focusing on. He says, in my inner being, what's going on? I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me. And he gets to the point, waging war against the law of my mind. And he's saying, it's happening in your mind here. There's a war that's happening in your mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. So what Apostle Paul is saying, there's a spiritual battle that's going on in your mind. There's a territory of your mind where there's spiritual battle. There's a demonic, okay, and you battling, waging war. And if you don't overcome the battle that's happening in your mind, you become a prisoner of sin. It's not because somebody rejected you that you become a prisoner of sin. Because somebody abandoned you, you become a prisoner of sin. It's when you lose the battle, the spiritual battle that's happening in your mind, you become a prisoner of sin. And if you don't win that spiritual battle of the mind, you're not going to win spiritual battles. But the series, this is the focus that when it comes to the battle of the mind, I want to focus on. The series says, come home. So I am encouraging you, my brothers and sisters, during this time, this year, God gave the conviction that we're overcomers, right? Say that to your neighbor, you're an overcomer. And so, come home. What does that mean? The focus of the spiritual battle is not about, this guy in the church going through a spiritual battle, and he needs to overcome that spiritual battle. Oh, I see Pastor Sam going through a spiritual battle. He needs to overcome that spiritual battle. Oh, this nation is going through a spiritual battle. So, focusing on spiritual battle that's outside of you, but I'm saying come home. Focus on personal spiritual battle that you're going through. Because when we win the personal spiritual battle, because too often we focus on what the devil is doing in our culture, in this nation, in this city, in the church, somebody else. But I say, come home. Come home. Focus on the personal spiritual battle. Because when we win the personal spiritual battle, we can win the spiritual battle that's going on outside of us. It's not the other way. And that's the conviction that God gave me as I was at this retreat. This last couple weeks, I was at a retreat, college retreat. And I'm helping them overcome spiritual battle. But every time after I give a sermon, God's telling me, you need to win your personal spiritual battle. And that's what he's speaking. But look, that person got said, you need to win your own spiritual battle. If we can't win the personal spiritual battle that's going on inside of us, we can't win the spiritual battle that's going on outside of us. And that's the theme verse for Catalyst. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be a witness in Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So the focus first is not God in Africa, you know, overcome the spiritual battle in Africa. God. No, first Jerusalem, your heart, your home, then Judea in the church, and then God could use us to overcome the spiritual battle that's happening in the city and other nations. See, in the Old Testament, God's people had to be victorious in the wilderness first before they had to learn that first to be victorious in the promised land. To be victorious in the promised land. It's just that they did not know how to be victorious in the wilderness. That's why they were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years. And they never, the first generation that came out, they never learned to be victorious in the wilderness. And because of that, you know, if they went to the promised land without learning that lesson, they would have got eaten up in the promised land. Think about David. What he said before he, you know, faced Goliath, this is what he said to Saul. I was victorious over lions and bears. Okay? His first battle wasn't with Goliath. But when he was all alone taking care of sheep, he had to battle lions and bears. And he overcame. And because of that, he's able to overcome Goliath. We're not supposed to fight Goliath our first battle here. God wants to prepare us. We need to first learn how to overcome the personal spiritual battle that's going on in our mind. You know, like, you know, before, like when I was at the other church, there would be people excited about mission, and, you know, they'll say, oh, Pastor Sam, I'm so excited about going to China. Can you send me to China? I'm like, oh, okay, since you're excited, that's what I would look at, the excitement, right? And I'll send this person to China, but I would, you know, there was some, like, you know, warning, you know, because at church, this person can't get along with people in the church. A lot of conflict with different people. But she said, if I get to China, God will use me. It's just that I'm here where God can't use me. But when I'm at the right place, God will use me. Right? That is there that, you know, there'll be anointing. It's there'll be spiritual power. It's there that I could really, because I really love the people in China. That's where I really love them. Right? No, it didn't happen. There, this person couldn't, there was more spiritual attack there. But because they couldn't overcome the personal spiritual attack here, they could not overcome there. And so there became more bondage in this person's life. She couldn't love the people here. Guess what? After 2 years, she hated the people there. Couldn't stand them. Couldn't stand them. Always judging them, you know. And because she did not allow herself to be used by God here, she wasn't used by God there. And after a couple of years, we had to bring her back. The spiritual principle that we teach at Catalyst, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. Yeah, we want to be able to teach the Bible. We want to be able to minister to people and release the spiritual gifts in other people. We want to raise up people. We want to disciple people, right? But if you can't be discipled, you're not going to be able to disciple somebody else. If you're not set free, you won't be able to set somebody else free. And it might look like you are, but it's very temporary. Okay. If you don't have peace, you can't give someone else peace. You could fake it. You could pretend to have it. And I think that's what happens a lot when we don't have it. We pretend. We pretend to love each other. Okay. We pretend to be joyful. We pretend. But you and I, we want the genuine, right? We want the genuine peace. And when we have the peace of God, fruit of the Holy Spirit of peace, it says it will transcend all understanding and it will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. If it's human peace, it depends on the circumstances, go up and down. But when you have God's peace, it comes from God. That's why Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In other words, I'll give you peace, my peace to you. You know, and so that's what I want to give, what God gives to me. And it changes my life, what God gives to me, that could change somebody else. You know, if you can't win the personal spiritual battle, you can't help someone else with their spiritual battle. And this is the principle that I see with Jesus. Before he started ministry, you know, he was led into the wilderness. And he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And in the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil. In the wilderness, the devil tempted him with personal spiritual attack. Are you the Son of God? Are you really the Son of God? Are you really his son? Right? And the devil himself personally attacked Jesus in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, Jesus won the spiritual battle. Amen? He won the personal spiritual battle. And the Bible describes it like this. Adam, the first Adam, lost the spiritual battle with the serpent in the garden. But Jesus represents the second Adam who won the personal spiritual battle in the wilderness. And because Jesus won the personal spiritual battle when he went into Galilee, into ministry, with one word, he was able to deliver people from demonic oppression. Deliver those who were in bondage. While the disciples, there was a boy, and they tried to deliver the boy, and they couldn't. Why? There are personal spiritual battle they haven't won. Personal spiritual battle with pride, selfish ambition, fear, lack of faith. Yeah. And so personal spiritual battle starts, okay? That's why this is so important, okay? Don't look at demons in the corner of your house. Oh, there's a demon there. There's a demon, you know, hanging there. I see a demon. Don't focus on that. in the territory of your mind, there's a demonic inside of you. There's a spiritual battle that's happening inside of you. It starts in your mind. Overcome your personal spiritual battle of your mind. Because the territory of your mind cannot be given up. Whatever gets your mind gets you. Whatever gets your attention gets you. It is the battle for your soul. And almost every battle with sin begins in your mind. Okay? Begins in your mind. And so I'm just going to talk about first point today. And then next Sunday, I want to continue second point. First point is free your mind from destructive thoughts. Free your mind from destructive thoughts. Say that to your neighbor. Okay? So, in your mind, you got, as spiritual people, we got to see it as spiritual battle. Okay? Spiritual battle. And your mind needs to be liberated. It needs to be delivered. It needs to be set free. Okay? The territory of your mind needs, there's a waging war that's going on in your mind. And we need to win it. Okay? We're going to overcome. We're going to win it. There are certain thoughts that make you prisoner in your mind. And those thoughts have become a stronghold in your mind. What do I mean by that? Well, first, you know, there's lies, you know, the enemy throws at you. And if you agree with it, it opens the door. It opens the door to demonic attack. And when the door is open, what the enemy does is first establish a foothold. It's another word for foothold is a beachhead. That's what happened in World War II with the Allied forces to defeat Germany. They didn't go to Berlin, you know, first. They first captured a beachhead in Normandy. Okay? From there, they were able to conquer the enemy, right? And that's what the devil does. First, foothold, and then they establish a stronghold in your mind. The enemy establishes a stronghold. Like City of Jericho was a stronghold. And for the people of God, if they didn't overcome the City of Jericho, they could not conquer the land. They needed to first conquer the City of Jericho. And what is a stronghold? It's not just a lie. It's not just a thought. When a lie becomes a stronghold, you have a wrong belief system. It has become a wrong belief system. You know, like, it's a belief system. Like, I'll never overcome. The devil's too strong. The temptation around me is too strong. My past brokenness is more powerful. I can't overcome it. But this dysfunction in my life is too strong. It has become a stronghold. You're defeated. You don't even try fighting anymore. You're defeated. It has become a stronghold. But if you are a Christian, you need to fight back. You need to have the right belief system. You need to establish a right belief system. You need to establish, not Jericho, knock that down. That's what we're talking about. Knock down the City of Jericho. It's the wrong belief system. But we need to establish the City of Jerusalem with the temple in that city. Right? And so as a Christian, you need to establish, I have the Holy Spirit. The devil cannot force me to do anything. The devil is defeated in Christ. Because greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Jesus says the devil is a father of lies. God gives thoughts that inspires you, okay? That inspires you. But the devil gives thoughts that will tempt you, that will curse you, that will crush you. But you need to understand, as child of God, The devil can't control your mind. The devil will continuously plant negative thoughts in your mind. But I want to teach you something that's very important about the battle of your mind. I told you the devil's not that creative. So what he does is will attack the same area over and over and over again. The same temptation he will throw at you over and over again. The same lies. Because the Bible says the devil throws this fiery dart at you. Fiery dart. Right? It's hard to see. That's one thing about darts. Second thing is if you go, if you see anybody play darts, okay, you go to a bar, okay, and there's dartboard, there's always a target. And there's always a bullseye for you to hit with the dart, the bullseye. Okay? And so the enemy has a target in your heart. And he's going to try to hit the same lies, hit the old brokenness. He's going to use that one person to continuously discourage you, frustrate you, make you give up. That one addiction that you can't see yourself being free from. One sin that you feel like I will never be able to overcome. And so how does he do that? His scheme is hit that same target again and again. Okay. And so in the beginning is first to steal. The Bible says as a believer, God will plant the seed in your heart. Okay. But the devil, that's God. He wants to encourage you. He wants to give you promise. He wants to give you truth. But the devil makes the seed fall on path. Because when that seed falls on the path, the Bible says the devil will come and steal that seed. And how does he steal that seed? He targets, keep hitting that dart, same brokenness, the same lie. The same bondage, the same temptation, the same sin. He keeps hitting it over and over again. So you allow the devil to steal the seed. But he won't stop there. He's not satisfied with that. You know? Then and why? Because he'll keep hitting the same target over and over again. Because over time, you become okay with the temptation. You become okay with the bondage. You become okay with the brokenness. You become okay with the lies. You get used to it. Okay? When you get used to it, you stop dealing with it. You stop fighting it. You stop trying to overcome it. And this is the goal of the devil. You believe you're okay spiritually. You are spiritually dry. And you don't realize it. You're spiritually empty. You don't realize it. God is far from you. And you don't care. It doesn't bother you anymore. That's the goal of the enemy. That's why he hits the same target over and over and over again. You know, enemy attacked you with lies, like, you're so lazy, you are a mistake, you are a disappointment. And as a child, we accept it, and we believe it. But as you grow up, the enemy's been hitting that same lie with the dart again and again and again. My challenge to Catalyst is time to stop believing the lies from childhood. Spiritually, we're not little children anymore. The enemy's been attacking the same brokenness, same pain, rejection, childhood rejection. It is time to to stop believing in childhood lies. You know, and so we need to understand this. You know, this is in Christ. You have this. Right? You don't have to believe in lies. You know, you have this idea that comes to your mind, and you, because I thought it, it must be true. But the Bible says, dear children, you are from God and have overcome them. That's what you need to believe. Those lies, don't go, oh, I thought it, so it must be true, and I will never be able to overcome it. No. Say to yourself, I am a child of God. And because of Jesus, I am an overcomer. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, the Bible says. You know, you don't, meaning because of Jesus, guess what? There's lies that's hitting you. You could change the channel. You could turn it off. You could change, you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to believe the voice of brokenness and rejection and abandonment, insecurity. You don't have to listen to the devil. You know, I have known people, many people who went through inner healing, renewal weekend, people who sought soul care. You know, they went to conferences, they had one-on-one counseling for inner healing and stuff. And I am so thankful because I've seen many people deliver many people, transform many people, get healed, right? But there's some, over time, they don't get healed. They don't overcome. Over time, they become more broken, more upset, more bitter. Why? They can't win the battle of the mind. It is losing this battle that keeps your soul locked up. They think, oh, it's because I went to the renewal. That's it, right? No, you're going to go home. And that's where you got to apply the teaching of the renewal to fight the spiritual battle of your mind. But they go, oh, they don't do that. Just because they went to renewal and felt things, I'm transformed. I am changed. Those who I see change after renewal, they go home and they meditate. They go over the truth. They fight the spiritual battle of their mind. And they are able to overcome. Right? We all got hurt, but those who lose the battle of the mind, the hurt continues. The hurt grows. And you start to hurt other people. And you start to make more and more excuses why you should hold on to the pain. Make excuses why you make so many poor choices. Because you're not battling the battle in your mind, the prison becomes tighter, stronger, and darker. Yes, you have the information of renewal, but you're not fighting the battle. You know the teaching about forgiveness, about freedom, about deliverance, about healing, but if you can't win the battle of the mind, you will lose the battle of forgiveness, freedom, deliverance, and healing. My challenge, sons and daughters of God, let's stop believing in childhood lies. Let's grow up spiritually. Let's overcome the battle of our mind. And God's people said, amen.